Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hey, fuckers, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne.
I'm Christina.
Welcome.
Make
sure to rate, subscribe, review, leave a message. That all helps us to take over the iTunes charts. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yes, please. Thank you so much. Today's news item. Here's the porn that women watched in 2018, according to Pornhub. This article is from Vice. Among the most searched terms and the most viewed categories by women, lesbian steals the show, significantly outpacing the next term, lesbian scissoring and lesbian threesome. I feel like I'm narrating like a horse race, like up in the front. It's macaroni. Lesbian scissoring and lesbian threesome occupy them in eight and 13 positions. And stepmom and MILF landed at 9 and 10 for most search terms by women. And the top new term for 2018 for women was lesbian strap-on. I feel like this says sometimes women are really just getting sick of dudes. Don't be offended if you're a dude. It's okay. The popularity of women with the ladies is not new. Last year, Vice showed the same trend, and it's been the same since Pornhub began analyzing women's porn habits back in 2014. Two explanations for this have been put forward by the sexual therapy psychologist and Pornhub Sexual Wellness Center director, Lori Batito. She points out that lesbian porn allows women, quote, to see acts they like to receive, which is why pussy licking is so popular. Last year, licking pussy was 281% more requested by women than men. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Well, it's the same way that we like to fast forward through the blowjob scene.
I always fast forward. Yeah.
I actually don't. And it's funny because I prefer watching someone else do it.
But I like watching when the guy fucks the girl. What I'm envisioning is sometimes I envision like my partner I'm with fucking somebody else. But most of the time I envision like I am getting fucked by that dick. You know, you
sure.
Really, if you stare at something long enough, you can really convince yourself it's happening to you.
Yeah.
Looking at these statistics, one might think that bi-curious women are turning to porn sites for learning, ideas, confirmation, and inclusion. She said, Asian porn has always, or in any case since 2014, aroused the interest of women. But 2018 was a year where related terms were among the very most popular. Japanese, hentai. Sorry, guys, I'm pronouncing that wrong. And Korean were respectfully the second, third, and fifth most sought after terms. Interesting. Threesome was also among the most popular terms coming
among
forth.
Women.
Yeah,
really.
This whole thing is about just women's preferences. Wow. Damn. Pornhub's analysis highlights a peculiarity in women's preferences. Women are twice as likely as men to watch gangbangs. I love gangbangs. And double penetration, but also twice as likely to watch romantic videos. Man, see, women were all over the board. And, you know, what about a romantic gangbang? That's something that could probably happen, maybe. I don't know. You watch gangbang porn?
Absolutely not. No.
Oh, so much fun.
No.
I love, like, a group of guys waiting in line to bone a chick.
I don't.
Because I'm like, that would be fun.
The most people I can do is like threesome. And usually if it's a threesome, I'll do lesbian because I don't like two guys. It just feels very aggressive to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, come see us live.
See us live. We're going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina at Good Nights. Good night. Thursday, February 7th through Saturday, February 9th for 5 shows. Then we're headed to Portland, Oregon on Valentine's Day for the Listen Up Podcast Festival, which we are headlining. That's going to be a live recording of Guys We Fucked, which is very rare. So come and see that. Spend Valentine's Day with us. And don't be a sad bitch, as we always say. For more information on our touring, go to sorryaboutlastnightcomedy.com/tours. And make sure to follow us on social media. I'm at Philanthropy Gal.
I'm at Christina Hutch.
Yes.
Los Angeles, Wednesday, February 13th. I'm having my own show at the Belly Room in the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard. So ticket links for that can be found in the description of this podcast. That's going to be really fun. And then Saturday, February 23rd in New York City, Wendy Starling and I are co-hosting my birthday edition of Glamour Puss, which will be very fun and delightful.
And then on Monday, February 25th, I'm going to be in Los Angeles And I don't know exactly where. I think there's going to be multiple shows, but I'm filming something. And I really, really, really could use your support to come out for this because it's something important. And I will give you more information on that, either on the podcast, on social media, or both. So if you can come out, would really, really love to see you there. And then, as always, I have my other podcast, which is an unironic Justin Bieber celebrity podcast called Two Less Lonely Girls with Rosebud Baker. You can listen on iTunes and Spotify for free. And then we also have videos of us on YouTube if you like to watch someone talking into a microphone, as my mother would say.
How you doing?
Good.
Well, I just have the one personal thing I wanted to talk about specifically in this episode, because we interview our guest this week who told me about these particular meetings,
right?
Because him and I have both, and most people, I think a TED talk I watched is saying that 75% of humans have experienced some type of trauma in their childhood, and the way that that forms pathways in your brain and carves these grooves in your brain and is one of the huge reasons why we repeat certain patterns from when we were children, and something that could have served us well as a defense mechanism as a child. Because, I mean, I'm going to use myself as an example. If mom's bipolar and you don't know what her mood's going to be, you're always on edge, so you're very comfortable in that fight or flight state, which is one of the reasons why boredom is one of the worst things that I can experience. I hate it. It's one of my biggest fears. I didn't know this, but that can be a side effect of somebody who suffered trauma in their childhood. And so I've been going to meetings with the guest this week, Justin, and the organization is Adult Children of Alcoholics / Dysfunctional Families. And it's really been incredible to the setup of the meetings is they follow a similar 12-step program, kind of like AA, but there's a lot of sharing. And when you share, you're not allowed to interrupt anybody or reference what somebody said. When you share, you can volunteer to share, you can pass. And it's, you know, we read emails a lot on the podcast about people who have gone through some serious shit, and we always get feedback about how helpful that is. Whenever we have a guest talk about something serious, and they're like, after the interview, they're like, was that okay? And we're like, we promise you, so many people are going to email us going, this episode saved my life, if it's something really traumatic. And it was really nice to be in a room filled with people who have similar issues as I do. And it really felt like you just weren't alone. And I know that I'm very fortunate to have a voice that is heard by a lot of people. So for me in these meetings, I haven't said anything. I've just listened. But it resonates with me so much just hearing people's stories and how the patterns that you didn't realize you formed pop up in your life. I've also reading this really amazing book. I talked about it a couple episodes ago in an ad read, but The Body Keeps Score. And it really helps me realize all the things I do in my life as a direct result from childhood trauma. And one of the things that they mention in this book is lusting after someone who's unavailable is a lot of times something that someone who experienced childhood trauma would do. And I thought that was...
What's the reasoning?
Because it's dangerous.
Oh, okay.
And I'm so comfortable with... in dangerous situations. I think I've talked about this before. Like, if someone's like getting the shit beat out of them on the street, I will run towards it.
Yeah.
I step up in a way that I'm not capable of stepping up for myself that way, but I can do it in other situations. And I think being, on the other end of the phone when you think your mom has just jumped in front of a moving train, that I'll remember that day for as long as I live. But one of the things I remember about it is I wasn't panicked. I was like, we're going to figure this out. It's going to be okay. And I mean, afterwards, I was like, oh my God, that was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. But these meetings and this book has helped me take a step back and realize why the unhealthy habits in my life, why I do them. Mm-hmm. And it's really been great because instead of beating myself up and being ashamed of them, I understand them, which feels like it's given me a voice. And then I see the pattern that I recreate. And sometimes I can't tell exactly where it came from, but I just know that I'm not doing this because I'm a crazy person, and I'm not doing this. Sometimes I think to myself with the bad habits that I do, I'm like, well, guess I'll just do this for the rest of my life and I won't figure it out. And so these meetings have been really helpful in allowing me to stop judging myself and shaming myself for my actions. And I feel like I'm a little calmer and happier. So,
Yeah. And I think what we were unpacking last week a little bit was that I think it's more I think it's more common to feel the way that you do than the way I do. And it's funny because I actually had, after you guys, I guess, went to one meeting together, I had dinner with Justin, and he wasn't talking about your stuff, of course. He was just kind of almost like quizzing me a little bit, because we're good friends for a long time, but not like, you know, super long, just a couple of years. And he was kind of telling me stories or things that he was going through, that he was, you know, in reasons why he was going to the meetings. And I think really surprised by like my reactions or the way that I've handled, I guess, similar situations in my life, not trauma, but like how I react to something. Like there was a one instance where we were talking about this girl who constantly says like negative things, and we were together one time, and we were all taking a photo, and we were all in bathing suits because it was during the summer, and they're like, they have like amazingly hot bodies, and we all got together for a photo, and I was like, oh gosh, this isn't gonna go great, but whatever, it doesn't matter, like I am who I am. So we took a photo, and then the one girl goes, oh Corinne, that doesn't look as bad as I thought it would look. And my reaction to that was to laugh.
Bitch, what?
Because it's such a crazy thing to say, and obviously such a like it shows me who she is. It doesn't say anything about me. And Justin was just so surprised. He's like, logically, of course you're right. But he's like, I can't believe that is your reaction, is to laugh and not care. And I was like, but why would I care? I mean, it's not like the photograph is showing me a different picture. I know exactly what I look like. I mean, I don't have body dysmorphia, even though I joke about having it and thinking I look better than I do. You know, so it's like, I don't, there's nothing. And I also just like anyone who, you know, has like understands social norms and the way to conduct yourself in society knows that that's a crazy, heinous thing to say, and that you wouldn't say that to anybody,
right?
So I'm like, you're saying
it's coming from a place of hurt or whatever.
It goes, you have a lot of things to work out in your life, considering you're well into your 30s. And I'm so glad I'm not you.
Yeah.
Even if you do have a hotter body.
So Justin and I talk, but I feel like I understand the way his brain works, because it's crazy how, like, my best friend Melissa has been through childhood trauma. And I it's weird. It's like this weird language you can speak. But one of the things Justin and I always talk about is how every time we meet, he'll just be like, Corinne is amazing. I'm like, I know, she's so healthy. Like, she just thinks logical. Like, she just thinks logical, and the emotions don't get in the way. I think one of the things with trauma is you confusing emotions as like logic, like that, because I am a very emotional person. And
well, that's why you always say like feelings aren't facts. You say it a lot to, and I think to remind yourself.
Oh, 100%. I want to get it tattooed on my fucking forearm.
Yeah.
Because it's still hard for me to dissociate that. But we're just like, it is crazy how uncommon people like you are, and how we're just so shocked by that. And thank God we have somebody in our lives who's fucking healthy.
Yeah, but I was saying, Justin,
it's
I was
a
like,
great well, example.
I was like, don't worry about it though, because I was just like, I just don't relate to anyone, and it's very lonely.
I know, that's what we were talking
about. So it's like, there's always a downside to something, because like basically every episode we're interviewing someone and you're always like relating to them, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, I mean, I like your story, but I don't relate to any of what you're talking about. I hear it, I can use it in life, I can use it to understand other people, but as far as like resonating with me personally, pretty much never. And that's why I get really excited when I find someone who does.
Yeah.
So, and then real quick, we'll just do an email, right? We have time.
Yeah.
So this is from a listener, a pretty new listener. The subject line is semi-rare sexual assault email from a man. From man appears. Okay, cool. Hi, I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm a newer fan, but actually have been very into the podcast and its healing powers. I think I had a firsthand experience that you have wondered about recently. By the way, this is not easy to share, but I trust you more than people I meet, and you may do good on some level with this information. To get straight to it, I sexually assaulted my longtime true friend / crush in a weird night at my parents' house when I was 17. I think possibly it could give some insight into the guy's point of view in some small amount, of total cases of sexual assault. This is as short as possible the whole relevant story. We were both very high, and it was about my third or fourth time being high, but first time with edibles. We made something called firecrackers. We watched Memento together on a love seat. Then, as I remember, we kind of naturally went into the bedroom. She came over kind of late. I had no intention of her spending the night. It was just friends hanging out, but she knew I at least had liked her before. I remember her wanting to drive home, me saying she probably shouldn't drive right now. And at some point, she said she has a boyfriend. Then, definitely without any physical force, next thing I can recall is that we are in my bed. I think we talked a bit and went to sleep. Then I couldn't sleep, never really have been good at that. Then at some point, I awkwardly, super creepily, I imagine, felt around her sensitive areas and believe I probably went to masturbate after that. Honestly, not sure, but I think probably so. I had never been kissed, never been to any base, never had a proper girlfriend. I am about 5'6" with a nose I had to grow into. Ha. I had always been into one girl at a time for like years at a time, being friend zoned, never really dating them, but I had a nice date with this girl last time I saw her. I don't say those things as an excuse, but as information for the mindset I had. I was pretty sheltered and did not have a nearly true understanding of the situation that was happening, or women in general, I'm sure. I had a very brief and basic talk with my parents as well as my younger siblings, and I had already figured most of it out on my own. Months went by without me feeling much of anything, just kind of frozen in a way, during which I also felt up a second girl, this time under her clothes while we were drunk and sleeping on my tiny apartment bed with other people in the apartment, none of which she knew. This was a more date-like scenario, but again, ended up far from an actual consented act. Then the first girl messaged me and said, I can't just pretend this didn't happen. I completely broke. I was slammed in the face by a metaphorical mattress made of the pain I had put her through, but I didn't let myself see it until she confirmed that it hurt her. We continued texting a bit. She said she forgave me, and I ended up being able to feel all right about it maybe after a year, but never the same in the mirror. Then at some point a couple years later, she Snapchatted me something like, you sexually assaulted me, and then things about being the reason she hurts herself and stuff. Ever since then, I randomly just realized things from her perspective must have been just awful. It was dark the whole time, etc. Just the fact that it must have felt so planned and thought out and manipulative. I think parts of it may have been heavily due to this feeling I had of finally making progress and just being so excited that I didn't accept some things that happened. I've always been a sexual person, and I knew I could do fine if someone would just let me try, but it just wasn't happening, and I guess I tried to do something on my own, not even really acknowledging the other person as a person, which is so crazy to me now. But I think I was just kind of trying to experiment without bothering someone ideally, but ultimately looking past huge red flags. I have this feeling that the first girl saved maybe other people if I had stayed in that denial-ridden mindset. After going through some hard years and learning to forgive myself as much as possible, I still haven't talked to her again. I dream of being able to talk about it and feel okay with her. It feels like a knot that needs to be untied. But I don't feel comfortable reaching out to her because, but also I feel it's the only real sort of way to truly heal either of us. I type this now having a 16-month-old daughter and a beautiful, strong, smart, and pretty damn independent woman beside me who accepts me to the ends. I now have a completely different understanding of the situation that happened. And thankfully, I feel comfortable and safe about my behaviors now, and even just being aware of putting myself in any sort of risky situations, such as with drugs or something else. But I still kind of live in fear of what could happen potentially regarding what I did and recent movements and such, which I totally want to support, but honestly feel strange and suspicious for doing so. That was long, but there's a lot of crucial info, and I'm definitely on the emotional side. Thanks for reading. Blah, blah. Okay, the rest is, you know, we don't have to do. But anyway, thank you for sharing that.
So that was interesting. I think one of the things, I'm really glad this person felt comfortable to email us, because and knew that we weren't going to be like, I can't believe you fucking, like, you know, this shit happens. And I've voiced this many times on the podcast. I really have an insatiable need to understand why. And so that gave me personally a lot of insight. And then I remember I think we've had talks about this on the podcast, but the term friend zone, people mm-hmm. have written about it and how it's a term that shouldn't be used. And I found this while you were reading, I found this, it's a Vice article, but it covers the subject. When men use the term friend zone, they are explicitly attempting to shame women for hurting their feelings. Mm-hmm. Friend zone shames women for exercising their right to say no, just as slut shames women for exercising their right to say yes. And bitch attacks women for their right to call you on your horseshit. And I think that is a huge underlying problem in all of this, is the way men are raised to feel entitled. I don't think that you don't come out of the womb entitled. You learn it. And so I feel like there's a lot of elements in society and people's upbringings that kind of push men in that direction.
Well, also the constant objectification of women. So yeah. It's like, you know, women, like, literally, like, breasts are like breasts and ass are like objects. They're not like parts of your body. Like, you don't think about a penis the way you think about a breast. Like, I would never go up and I would never even think, or it would never even cross my mind to like grab some, like, a man's like dick. But I mean, like, even like,
but I felt that way about breasts.
Yeah, even as a woman, you're like, oh, like, I've definitely asked to like touch people's breasts like years ago, and you're like, because you think you can't. You're like, but it's like, no. I mean, like, I've never grabbed it without asking. And truly, I don't ask it. I don't care if people ask me. I would just say no.
Yeah,
but you know, people, and you see, like, people have grabbed my ass many times.
I've witnessed a lot.
But not even just people on the street. Fucking listeners of the podcast have grabbed it in line at, like, meet and greets. And it's like, yeah, no. And I don't care if you're a girl. Like, gross. Stop touching me. I don't fucking know you. Mm-hmm. It's not appropriate.
I think the general population, and it's not just men, feel entitled to women's bodies because of many reasons. But, you know, fucking stop.
Yes. So today's guest, one of my favorite people, he's a celebrity dog trainer, but that's not why he's here. But I just like to say that because it's really cool. He's a stand-up comedian. He has two great podcasts. One is called No Disrespect with Mike Vecchione, who you also heard on the Guys We Fucked podcast. And then another one called Neurotica, which he is bringing back. I think it's on hiatus right now. He is a very close friend of mine and just like a hot dude. I mean, not a credit, but he won't mind it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Justin Silver.
We sit and we talk and I'm trying to know ya. Laughing and dancing, don't know if I want ya. Now I'm faking a smile, biting my lips to own ya. You know I've been here before, searching for hope, waiting around to find someone like you in the distance, someone who listens, someone who won't make me miss this. And I, back and forth with a commitment, show some forgiveness. Ooh, so I'll put my best dress on, I'll play along, and you flash those pretty eyes, show me pretty lights in the love game.
Hi, we're here with Justin Silver.
Hi, ladies.
Hello, sir.
We got right into it on that one.
We just all sat back.
And yeah, we
all
love your leaning
sassy
back.
Lean when you say my name. We're here with Justin Silver.
Dicks got out.
It. I'm so excited to be here with you girls. I was listening to with you women.
It's okay, you know,
because I was like, I am not a girl.
I was listening to the dance.
You're considerably older than us, so it's fine.
All right, forget that. Now I'm going to leave.
You look fantastic, and also that only makes everyone wetter.
Does it?
Yeah, for sure.
I love whatever the fuck is going on between
me
guys.
And
it's
her?
Very fun, yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know,
Corinne's so funny about it. I love it.
I was listening to Dan Soder's episode because I was just like on the Stairmaster and the treadmill today.
Okay,
and
we get it.
Stairmaster.
Like, yeah, well, me and him have so many similarities, but I just love how you guys are just so open and welcoming. But, you know, I'm such a fan. You and I are new friends, Christina.
Yes, we are, yeah.
But me and Corinne, like, we've been cultivating. We've been cultivating this romantic friendship.
Is that what we're calling it?
Well, Corinne, you have a lot of romantic friendships, and I always admire that. And
whoa,
this is certainly
none
as romantic as you. And you haven't had one in a while.
I would say I only have one other one. I would say Jonesy. So I have one in LA and one in New York.
Jonesy,
you gotta have
me.
Coast to coast, baby.
Yeah, Jonesy, I would say, is my romantic LA people who I've never hooked up with, but there is, it's more.
We're fun flirts.
It's more than a friendship.
Fun flirts.
Yeah.
We're fun flirts. But I have so much respect for Corinne as a podcaster because, number one, like, she's been on both my podcasts. And a lot of times when you have people who are good at their own podcast, they hijack the shit out of your podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But she's not like that. She's so generous in terms of being like, she goes along with whatever you're doing. So that's a great performance skill.
She gives
and
you space.
A great auditory performance skill. And then I just have so much respect for you just in your comedy endeavors, how you always seek to get better, even though you guys have this built out audience. You could just sit back and rest on your laurels. You don't.
Never.
And so I always sing your praises to people.
Thanks.
And Christina, I will be singing your praises as we get to know each other.
Oh, so. Thanks. I look forward to being.
This is my charming voice.
I like it. You have a good podcasting voice. I like it.
Is it good?
Yeah.
It's not too Jewy, annoying. It's not too Jewy.
I didn't even
annoying.
Know you were Jewish.
I mean, everything about him freaks Jew. Oh,
really?
My gosh, yes.
Are you neurotic?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm so neurotic.
He has a podcast about it.
I have crazy OCD.
Yeah.
Your thing? What's your...
Now it's like I get these like obsessive thoughts and my brain locks on things. But I know how to manage it really well just because of like cognitive behavioral therapy.
Oh, nice.
But as a kid, it was like because I had so much trauma. I had so much trauma at a very, very young age, which I'll get into with you guys. Which that's what I was saying. I was listening to Soda's episode with me and him. All my friends have like the same story.
Yeah.
We all have like absentee fathers and then raised by all women. Like me, Dan, Jay. So we all have like the same kind of mishigas going on in our head. I dropped a little Yiddish for you, Corinne.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
I know your listeners in Great Neck appreciate
that. A lot of
Yiddish,
yeah. So.
No, I have like crazy OCD. So now it's like obsessive thoughts that I really have to work hard to manage.
Mm.
And the stage is a really great place to work that shit out.
Yeah.
Because you can apply it for good. You know, it's like my evil power. Will I use my powers for good or evil? Like
right.
I could sit there and like fucking do grout work till 4 o'clock in the morning. Or I could sit there and write jokes and do creative stuff and like podcast stuff. But when I was a kid, it was like horrible twitches and patterns and like tappings and things like that.
Mm.
Which is like, you know, I learned later that it's your brain at a young, you're trying to distract yourself from the things that you can't protect yourself from when you're really young. And so your brain just goes into this mechanism and then, you know, through like re-traumas as you get older. And I've been through just so much fucking shit in my life at this point that it's like, you know, it's just like the bone keeps breaking in the same spot. And then you just learn how to manage it. And I guess you learn to like accept yourself and love yourself and all that kind
it's
of
scary
stuff.
To the cognitive therapy though is very helpful because you carve these pathways. Kids, it's amazing to me how
neurosynaptic pathway. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How children can go into survival mode without even knowing it.
Yeah.
And using these mechanisms as a way to not feel the pain.
Well, they say like if you this is an interesting thing. They have this theory where they say it's safer to be a devil in a world of angels than an angel in a world of devils. And what that means is that as a kid, if you experience a lot of trauma, a lot of time it's safer for that child to blame themselves and take it on themselves and think that they're bad rather than think that they're a good person in an evil world, because the latter is nothing that they can protect themselves from.
Wow.
So that's why the human psychology is just, it's unbelievable how advanced and how we don't like just what's going on in there on the subconscious level. It blows my mind.
Yeah.
You're staring at me, haven't said a word. Are you falling in love right now?
No,
okay,
it's called listening.
Oh, I don't know how to do that.
Corinne's very good listener.
I have to listen so I know what's a question to ask you next.
Corinne's so good at so many things.
She really is.
That sounded so fucking weird.
Why?
Because it's definitely everyone thinks blowjobs.
Who thought that in the room?
I didn't think that.
Everybody knows we're platonic, really good friends, you know, unless.
Would you ever do it or no? Is that weird?
I mean, I'll make out with her right here. Right now on this podcast.
You don't have to do that right now.
I don't think I will.
Yeah.
But
that's very Howard Stern.
Save it for the party.
What'd you say?
Save it for the party. You don't have to.
I cherish our friendship in a way where I kind of feel like that, like, we're better off, like, as just kind of friends who, like, you know,
we just have tension. Because the tension can be very fun.
Friends who grope. You can grope me.
Well, I was like, you've groped me more than I've groped you.
It's nice to have a friend you can grope. You can consensually grope each other. I like that. I like that vibe. But you'll never, like, I don't think.
You can't say never.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Oh, now
so.
It's changing.
Oh, now you're falling in love.
You can't say never to things.
Mm.
What if, like, listen, what if, like, you and I are, like, 85 years old, oh. we're both not married, and we're in the same old age home? You know what I mean? I'm like, hey!
So this is like, how about we give it away?
No, I'm just saying, you can't say never. I'm not saying, listen, we
if
could
things
be-
get really bleak, Justin will hit it. Nice. Thank you.
He'll tap
I'm just
that.
Saying you can never say never.
Thanks.
You were thinking about the next question. Go ahead. I'm so down to answer all your questions.
I was going to ask you, for the OCD, what traumas were you protecting yourself from in your childhood?
Oh, I was, my parents split really early. And when I was, and my dad remarried. And my mom was this very, my mom is such a, I was raised by three women mostly. Like my mom, my grandma, and my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like, these women just nurtured me and surrounded me. And it was just like the safest space possible.
Mm.
And my grandma, who just passed away last week, it was like, and I'm glad she passed because she was just sort of like wanted
suffering.
To die at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think more suffering emotionally than she was physically. That was the problem. But then she like fell down and I was like, if they get her out, like she fell down, it was one of these things where it's like, she's going to go to a rehab. And now if she goes back to home, it's like, how long is it going to be until she falls down again? She's like, I just want to die at this point. This is like a Holocaust surviving woman.
Wow.
She came home when she was 17 with dinner on the table and her family murdered.
Oh my God.
Went through the Holocaust. My grandfather, the same thing. They fell in love in
a camp?
No, my grandfather freed her from a camp.
Oh my God.
Then they fall in love, come to America with absolutely nothing, raise my mother, my uncle, and my aunt. My mother grows up poor and then has an art talent and becomes a fashion designer and makes herself wealthy by the time she's in her mid-30s with a son, me, who is a emotional lunatic that she raised from the age of like 24. So my mother is like a strong woman. My aunt, I'm raised by these like strong
women. And your grandmother.
Women. My grandma's unreal. She's unreal. So I'm raised
Holy
by these like real,
shit.
And then I have two sisters. Well, they're my cousins, but we grew up in the same house. So I have like all these. Then you have my dad's side of the family who, and my dad passed away like last year. I don't want to like shit on him too much, but it was like my dad lived in Manhattan, which as a young kid was like 14th Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, like 14th Street is still kind of a shithole.
Yeah.
So this is like in the 70s. So it's like 14th Street was fucking horrible and it was overwhelming
just
and it
needles
was scary.
In Union Square Park.
It was like a scary place. The city just, it overwhelmed and scared me. Like Forest Hills, Queens is like a lot. It's like, like a Russian Jew neighborhood. It was just like, it felt safe. So I had these like two separate worlds. And there was my stepmother who was like very sexy and loud.
Oh, that's odd.
Well, I'll tell you, very like sexy and loud and like inappropriate with me.
So she fondled you, she diddled you?
Yeah.
Tickle your balls?
And it was interesting.
What'd she do?
She would walk around pretty exposed and then like
I was titty out or pussy out?
Like a lot of like bra and panties, but like with like, and I was confused by it, and then she'd like yell at me for like looking.
Oh,
and
God.
I was like, this is, and I didn't know, and I started feeling guilty, and then in like bathtubs, there were like things that just made me uncomfortable.
Like she would put her hand in your bath? Or
yeah, but like
you just grabbed your own crotch when you said that. Was that on purpose?
Yeah, like
to
I'm showing you.
You know, this is real hot. Correct?
This is a podcast. You know that, right?
So it was yes. So it was like so there was just like there was just like enough inappropriate shit where I was like, this is like not a safe person. And at night, I was like terrified of the dark. They would keep me on the couch. Like I never had like a room.
Oh,
and like in New York City, like the sirens are going off, and I would like I'd be terrified that I was. Terrified of the dark.
Mm.
And I'd kind of want to go in and ask my dad if I could be like, and I'm like, I think I'm like four. And like,
four?
Yeah.
You were that young.
I remember, these are sort of my first childhood memories of like trauma. So I think I'm remembering the pictures of those times. And it's me like sitting on a mailbox. Actually, wait a second. Here, it's this age right here because I just told you I sent that my grandma passed away. We were looking at pictures of the photo albums. Okay.
So this is a picture of how old
it's
you-
here.
Oh my God!
Oh yeah, you're
a baby.
Little, you're a toddler.
I'm young.
Yeah.
So
you can't be more than four in that picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
How cute though.
Very cute.
I mean,
honestly, aww. Justin,
Corinne,
I have to.
This is what our babies are gonna look.
No,
like.
No, no, no. This is crazy. I have to show you a picture of me when I was four because we kind of look alike.
Whoa.
Like I had the same, like I mean, same skin tone, same haircut.
Yeah.
Like we look alike. That's weird.
Mm. Man, your baby's gonna need glasses.
So no, so I just where were we on the story? Wait.
Well, wait. You were getting your touched. Stepmother was being inappropriate to you when you were that young.
Yeah. No. So it was like so then I remember like I would want to knock on his door to ask if I could like sleep in the bedroom with him or come in, and he would scream at me. And I remember feeling so overwhelmed by that. Like I remember, and then
you
I had
just
my
needed comfort.
I just needed comfort. Like this is like the story of my life. Like I just needed comfort. And then this just kept going and going. Later into my life, my dad like made a lot of money. They got a house in Westchester, and like I was upstairs in the attic, like
farthest
away as possible. And my brothers had like their own rooms with like Alex and Noah like written.
Were they
on,
her kids? The
yes.
Stepmom? Okay.
Alex, like you know, with the crayon letters on the walls and all that kind of stuff. And I just had like this extra room with like
the attic.
Nothing was mine. Like my backpack, like whatever I had was the backpack my mom packed me with. And at night, I would get like fucking terrified, and I'd want to go down and like knock on the door and be like, "Hey, can I just sleep at least
comfort
in the room?"
Comfort me. I'm a child.
And I would get fucking screamed at. And I remember when I would start these patterns started developing in my head. Like, and the pattern was like 1 2 2 1 2, and I would start like tapping and knocking and making these noises. And I talk about this in my act because it actually became the thing that like. It actually became the thing that like spurred me into doing truthful comedy, because I started to realize like this shit's actually fun. Like when you're really being honest and truthful and you've healed from these things, like comedy is like this conduit toward healing.
It's orgasmic to turn it into comedy. It's so healing.
Every tragedy is like, I'm like, you know what? Give me 6 months on this.
Yeah.
So I remember I had this, like I would do this like, like I would do these beeping and pattern, and I would do these like, and I was like, they would make fun of me. Like there's like tree frogs loose in the house. And it's like, even like that, was not like, hey, it wasn't like, hey, what's wrong? They would like make fun of me for that shit.
Yeah, it wasn't like a wake up call, like maybe we should take our, you know, kid to the doctor because this is weird.
My mom was incredibly nurturing, but at the same time, like she was like, my mom's like nuts. She's like kind of, she was like, you know, like when you have like the 80s leather shoulder pads, like working woman, like that kind of thing.
Yeah,
like my mom was that woman who was like running clothing
companies.
Your mom was
Christina Applegate in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Thank you.
So did you at this point confide in your mother or your father? That
my mother constantly, and she would, I think she always wanted me to like have my father be a presence in my life, but I don't think she realized like how fucking
abusive.
How abusive it was. And I don't, and my dad was a drinker. And I think, you know, me and my stepmother, we've meant like, you know, I know she loves me now, but it's like, I'm still never going to be like, my heart's never opening up to this woman the way that it'll be to my mother.
That, yeah.
No. And I don't give a, and when I was like, and I just sent you that picture. I showed you that. I sent you that picture from me at boarding school. When I was like 15, I was such a fuck up in school. And I always had this artistic ability. I was like a fine artist. So my mother was like, listen, I don't give a shit. She was so on my side. She's like reading, writing, all these. She's like, I don't care. She's like, all I want you to do is draw as much as possible. That is going to be the thing that's going to carry you through life the way it would for me. Now, she's also codependent, so I realized like when she was doing my homework for me, like I needed a male figure in the house. I had no balance, so I needed a male figure in the house to kind of balance out like, hey, like you do need structure here. Like you need to be nurtured with one hand, disciplined with the other. Exactly. But so I didn't have that discipline, and so it was, I was such a lunatic. Like it was just, I was confused. I didn't understand, like sitting still in classroom for 6 hours, I was like, that is not happening. And I almost had this permission from my mother, who's gonna be like, listen, I don't give a shit if he sits still or he doesn't. Like as long as he's drawing, that's gonna be the thing that sort of carry him. And it did for a while. But it got so bad at the point of like, I got accepted to art and design. Specialty school, which is on 50th Street for drawing.
Wow.
And I didn't go to school for 50 days. And my mother was like, here's it. And my dad was not going to step in. Like, I'd be like, can I live with dad?
What were you doing? You were just staying at home?
I would go on the bus. No, it wasn't. So I would go on the bus and then I'd like smoke.
It's like the FAME school, but for drawing.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Yeah, I went to,
but you
like,
couldn't go to, like, school was in session, but you chose not to go?
I was just like not going to go to class.
Okay, got it.
And I was like, and who's going to make me do this? Mm-hmm. Like, there was like, and I wasn't a bad kid. Like, I was just a fucking troubled and confused, lost kid. And then like,
with no
and then
tools
I
w- in your toolbox to
no
deal with
tools
it.
In my toolbox. And it was also Manhattan, so it was like, listen, jeez, we would go to like the Sheep's Meadow, smoke pot all day. I would go to like the thing, like I was going to the Limelight at 15,
whoa,
17,
you went
I'm
to
sorry.
The Limelight
at like
damn.
17. So it was like, so I would smoke, and then my mother was like, listen, there's this boarding school that we're gonna take you to. And it was like this therapeutic boarding school, which was basically like, it was, they called it for gifted underachievers. And here's what it really was. It was like a paid for half, I want to say like a like juvie. But what they didn't know is that they practice humiliation therapy on you.
Oh my God.
And they had these parent meetings where they would sort of brainwash your parents into thinking that you were doing all that, you were telling your parents these lies about what was going on there. But there was like, and nothing happened to me. There was like a ton of sexual abuse that was going on there. There
really?
Was like the punishments that they would do for you were like so fucking extreme. I remember the first, we would do this thing where you couldn't ever leave hand space. Like you couldn't ever leave arm's distance from another kid in your bunk. Like three people had to always be within arm's distance.
Why?
So I have no idea. So if you left arm's distance, they would call you handheld. So now you and the people in your, you and the other two boys in your dorm had to hold hands to go to the bathroom, then hold hands to go back. Now, if you broke that, meaning if you opened hands, you would be what was called amoebaed, which means now you're in a circle together. And then if you broke those things, they would
put, they got to jerk each other off or blow each other.
They would put so many restrictions on what you could do that it would just like the punishments would get worse and worse and worse. So to the point where I ran away from this place four times before I actually like got out and like was away.
What kind of sexual abuse did you witness?
A lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what, this place doesn't exist
male
anymore.
Teacher,
no, but it got shut.
Kid?
It got shut down on 47 counts. Look it up. It's called the DeSisto School. And when the guy died,
DeSisto
School. Yeah, it got shut down on 47
Fuck.
Counts of child abuse, but for 1 year. In the 1 year that they decided to finally do it, it was 47 counts, but who knows what happened over the 20 years that place had been in existence.
Oh my, shit. Well, yeah, it sounds like he opened this so he could touch kids.
Yeah.
And was he doing it? Where was the staff doing it?
Yeah, definitely. And I never, like, you know, the funny thing is, like, I still am best friends with the friends that I made there because we all ran away from school together. And the cool thing is, like, but there's good parts of this story where it's almost like, well, here's some of the weird shit. Like, I saw a lot of stuff. But at the same time, like, I remember my first girlfriend, she was this girl, Carrie. She's passed away now because she had diabetes. It was, like, the first time I ever felt, like, young love. And I snuck out to, like, go make out with her and, like, feel her up behind this, like, school building. And it was in the snow. And so they saw the footprints in the snow. And then what happened was the whole dorm got, like, punished for a month. And the way they would punish you was they put me and her in a dorm together where we were not allowed to look at each other. We couldn't have eye contact or
so
anything.
So somebody was monitoring this?
So we were monitored all the time.
On a camera or somebody was in there?
No, there's people in the room. So so it was like, you're not allowed to look at each other or talk to each other. So I could be like, so we'd be cooking. I'd be like, can someone please tell Carrie to pass the pot? So you understand?
Yeah.
So these were, so like my, so the first time I ever like made out with a chick or like, it was like, this is what happened afterwards.
And everybody else got punished. You had to deal with that.
And then the rest of the school.
Because of your actions.
Right. They got punished for like a month and a half. It was called farmed. They would put you on this place where it was like literally like a working farm where you would like chop wood all day.
Oh,
so that's what we
God,
were.
Justin.
So this is the kind of shit that would happen in my life, which is now like funny, and I'm surprised I'm as high functioning as I am.
I am too.
I'm pretty high functioning.
You
really
you've had
are.
A really successful life so far.
I have.
You're a maniac, but I get
but no
it.
No shit.
A charming one though.
Can't believe you're not shooting up or like fucking, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Well, I have this like good heart. You know, the funny thing is like, you know, I do all the work with animals, like Funny for Fido and all
oh,
the charity work and yeah.
That's Grin's porn.
Can you just
pause? Justin helping a puppy cross the street.
When I post the first time
I met you in real life, I was like, I knew you were friends with like the Legion of Skanks people, so I was like, I don't know how this is gonna go. But then they
haze me as much as they haze you.
No, I know. And then I realized that you were different, and I was like, oh God. I was like, I was like a little
dreamboat,
a Jew with abs and who loves dogs and is funny. I mean, this is a real and who looks a little drugged out in the face, but doesn't have
like a fun way.
Doesn't have
like
an active
a James Franco
drug
way.
Problem. Like,
yeah,
that's kind
well,
of
not,
my thing.
Right, well, not today.
But has.
Yeah.
I had in the
I
past.
Know. Believe me, that's on my list of pros.
Oh,
yeah.
You need,
I have a type.
Yeah,
oh,
she
no,
does.
No, I get it. You need someone that's like, has enough breaks in their bones so they have the same texture as you do so you can relate on a certain level like that. That
No. I had a really easy life until I moved to New York by myself. I need a lot of like dysfunction from my partner.
Got it. All right. Well, I'm here for you.
I love
it. Oh,
I love
why, that's another reason
I'm
why we
work dysfunction
together.
Well.
You seem like you might be.
No, but here's it. But the cool thing is like I have so many great friends from that place, and then like this is interesting. Like the first girl that like there was this girl Lucy Benito, who she's married with kids now. I love her to death. She had this beautiful curly hair. It was the first time I realized that I was like, holy shit, like a woman's ass. I was like, what the first?
I forgot this about you. Yeah,
she had like this bubble butt, and I was just like, this woman's ad. Oh, wait. Let me rewind. I was saying the reason my whole thing with dogs
yeah.
is that my mom has always said, she's like, the reason you do all this work with dogs is like, you're always trying, she's like, you know how they say you treat animals the way you want to be treated? She's like, you're always trying to like save and heal and fix things. You know Aww. What I mean? So where some people go one way where they become like criminals, as mm-hmm. they should be.
Or an abuser themselves. Or,
yeah, they become an abuser criminal, themselves. Yeah. No, that's a very, very good point. They become an abuser. It's like the opposite. For me, it's like everything resonated in sort of like a sensitivity and like Aww. A sort of like a, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I have a heart. I have a big heart.
Yeah, oh, I thought it would be because people let you down. So you're like, animals haven't let me down.
That's an interesting point because so many people in the animal community, I find to be so intolerable because it's like they don't have the half the reason I do Funny for Fido is because I'm like, do you know how to communicate with people and like get some funding for yourself? Like,
right.
Where's your fucking people skills?
Yeah.
You know, so, but I remember there's this girl, Lucy Benito there. She had this like beautiful curly hair and she had like, it was the first bubble butt. And when we broke out of school together.
Never forget
and,
your like, first bubble butt.
You never forget your first bubble butt. We broke out of school together and it was like 20 of us like left the school. And we left actually like in robes because they did this one punishment where it's like if they think you're going to run away, they take all your clothing away. But we were like,
oh,
fuck this.
Oh my God.
We were like, fuck this. We ran up this mountain in like robes. We hid in the woods. And it was like kind of cool and adventurous in a
yeah.
way. We hid in the woods and then we went back at night, got our clothes back. And
did
like,
you have shoes on?
I had shoes on.
Okay.
We stole shoes. But wow. But it was like, and then I was like on the road, kind of like in, I ended up in like DC for a little while. And my mom is like such the type of person. She was like, if I call my mom, no matter what that school said, I was like, mom, I'm on the road. Like, here's the deal. It's either this or you take me home. She'd be like, baby, come home. You know, aww, like my mother loves me to death. And then she became actually the one who was like, while that school was still convincing all the parents of all my best friends to like not take them in, my house is where they would stay. And they so my mother is like, everybody loves my
An
mom.
An angel.
Everyone loves my mom. My best, Jesse, Mike, Drew, these guys are like, you know, some of them are successful, some of them are a little fucked up, but they're all like good dudes.
Right.
Yeah. But everybody's like, how are you? How's your mom type? You know, how's your mother? Like,
tell your mother hello for me.
Tell your mother hello for me. That's yeah. what I was doing. But Lucy, I remember she had this like, it was the first like body that I fell in love with. And she had these like perky little tits and this bubble butt. And when, after that school, I was like, she was like my dream girl, and she would always come over for like dinner to my mom's house, and my mother would just see how I would get, like when she would answer the phone, it was like that first just like rush of tingles that just like goes through you, you know, like when someone's name is like written on the chemicals in your body.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
She was the first.
What a romantic sentence.
She was the first one like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like I would even sleep over her house, like her mom was cool, and we would like make out, and she had like this like, you know, she had like money in Jersey, and she had like tapestries and would light a candle and play like
Aww.
Ani DeFranco and all this like Tori Amos, like chick rock.
Yeah.
And like we would just go into this like, it was like a dream come true just being with her.
Yeah.
And then we dated for 2 years. We lived together. That broke off. But it was like my first memories of real love. It's like she is my first absolute love, and it's like the first time, she's not who I lost my virginity to, but she might as well have been. It was like the first time you're learning like a woman's body and you realize like how to make them orgasm, and and you like you're learning the technique of how to do that for the first time, because they're not leading you through like, hey little boy, let me show you how to, but it's
right.
like you're learning how
you're
to like
stepmom
you're
about.
Learning that move of how to like, you know, like a woman, you have to go up, so like where their clitoris is, it's not
you
like,
can feel when a woman's aroused and when she's not aroused, so reading a woman's body via touch is a very important skill.
I just remember we had this like, she had this apartment on the Lower East Side where it's like the candles would light and like the lovemaking sessions would start, and I was like, I could go back to that shit. I could close my eyes and go back to that, and I Aww. Swear to God, I get this like, it like rushes through me.
Yeah.
And it's like that and she set the standard. I was like, all right, this is what like being in love and lust and have that all enmeshed, this is what that feels like. And it was like, you know, and I've had a bunch of those like later in life. Like I mean, I don't know if I could count this last one. I'm still processing like this weird breakup, which I can't get too into detail about. But like, there's been significant women in my life where I was like, these are great, great women. These are like great, like love and sexual experiences. But like, it was like, that wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have gone through what I went through, you know, what I went through with that place. And it was like, in a way, it bonded me with those people. And it's like, once traumas have healed, they really do become strengths in your life. I think too many of them, you really become a fuck up. But it depends like where your moral and emotional compass goes.
Yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where what is your instinct? What are your instincts with guidance or when you paying attention to your feelings? That was something that I had to learn how to do, because a lot of times childhood trauma teaches you to not listen to what you feel about something. You just go off of everybody else. And that's a really hard one to fucking rewire.
Can I tell you? I'm dealing with that right now. I just went through this thing with this woman, and I'm not going to get too into detail about it right now because it's still fresh, just out of respect for, like, you know, it's not like you guys have 19 listeners here. Like, you know what I mean?
Thanks, Justin.
But you're welcome.
Out of respect for her.
But this one was like, this one was like super traumatic and super deep and like very, very intense. And it was
the relationship or the person?
The relationship, and as we're breaking it off, like all that codependent crazy shit happened. I was
But you're super intense too.
I'm very intense.
Yeah. So two intense people together is probably like
two intense people together. I realized like I want intensity in one place. Like next relationship, I want intensity in one place. I want it in the bedroom.
I was gonna say, I was like, do you know where it is, or just anywhere?
Yeah, where's the place?
I want it in the
49th
kitchen.
And 8th.
I want this chick. I want it in the bedroom. That's where I want. I need intensity like in the bedroom. But I was like, it's like you. I realized like like we all have like this little kid inside that know, like you feel like a lot of times what I do is like I don't trust those instincts. I try to like overpower them and overcome them via like, let me expose myself to this thing that's triggering and then I'll overcome it that way. And I'm like, no. And like here you are again trying to heal those relationships of like through a fucking person again. Yep. I'm like, And it's
and you invite the pattern in again. You invite it. It's crazy to look back and go, oh shit, I was just grabbing onto the same fucking trauma in a different person.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how it's like until like you will keep the same shit will come up until you, and I'm like, oh my God, I realized why this came into my life. Like there's a reason for this. Like on my end of it, I'm like, pick a street now. And I was like, oh, it's time to deal with these old things. It's trying to finally like
break
get over
pattern
this one.
And too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel an emotional attachment to a pattern before you break it, even though you know it's not healthy?
So give me an example of that.
So one thing I do is I always put, if I'm dating somebody, or one thing I used to do, I'm trying to break that, putting their needs first and not even listening to myself.
Yes.
And it's like, it almost makes me uncomfortable it makes me sad to put my needs first. I don't know why.
Yeah. Cause you feel like you're being selfish and all those things. You know what's interesting? Yeah. But maybe not that specific one, but I always feel like it's my job to rescue people. Is what you're talking about. You're talking about like a small form of a rescue. It's so interesting. Rosebud was like, I called her because I have so many good female friends. I think it's because I was raised by women. Like I just get on with women well. I'm like, they'll let me talk forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I put the bedroom's eyes on them, they're going to let me talk even longer.
Oh God, giving away all your
flesh and testicle and then I get to the therapy.
No, but she's like, Justin, you should read Codependent No More. And so she gave me, and I was like, oh, I should listen. And I always like to listen to stuff on, I like listen to books on tape on YouTube.
Oh, audiobooks save me. Oh, YouTube. Okay,
I just went on YouTube, and I was like, you should definitely.
That's like the book.
Rosebud told me about it. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. It's just like, it explains so many patterns that we have.
What's something you learned from there? Just because, you know, I'm a little codependent too, so I'm trying to break that one.
Something I learned on that one?
Yeah.
I learned how, there's
something that's helpful.
Well, this is the one that was interesting. I learned that, like, you know, you all, and I kind of know this, like, that little gut feeling that you have is like that little kid is like sort of screaming in there for all of us. It's like, and if you don't, and I'm like,
and everyone has that too.
Everyone has it. And if someone like said, if someone's like, oh, he's talking about the inner child, what, like, shut up. Yes.
But yes.
Like real
and
men.
And like that you're fighting the audience.
No, I'm talking about.
Well, that's an example of having an inner child that like you punch each other.
Yeah, real men are fucking in touch, dude. I have so many guy friends, like the vulnerability, so many of like the strongest, most masculine men I know, from dudes like Dante.
Yeah.
Who's like, you know, all right, here's this guy who's like 350 pounds with a bone, who's like, the concept of getting mugged is like not something that could ever run through. He's like.
He has a Hummer with his face on it.
We have vulnerable conversations that is like, I've cried, like we've cried on the phone together.
I love that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm a masculine man. It's like,
but you're in touch with your feelings.
Yeah.
That's the most, that is so powerful and it's sexy and it makes me so happy that men like that exist.
Oh, yeah, they
seriously,
do.
Seriously.
A lot of them do.
Yeah.
But what I learned from that, I was like, when that little voice is like, when that little voice has that little pang of discomfort, you have to pay attention to that. And for me, it's like what ends up happening is I ignore it. Cause I'm like, let me just like motor my way through this. It's almost like you have like there's the fear of that, so you put some like social mask on, like the overcompensating. Like you have your laundry list of behaviors, and then you have the subsequent laundry list that is the reaction to the initial one. So it's like so here, perfect example. Like here, I'll be honest as possible. Like me with my shirt off on a podcast is like, you know, it's like how I overcompensate for that.
Yeah.
Like my body is one of two things. Number one, it's like a defense mechanism because I don't want people to think I'm like small and weak, right? And the second place, it's like, it's kind of like a sanctuary. It's like being physical and working out is like the place I go to like get in touch with myself. So what I learned is like, if you don't listen to that initial voice, you end up going to that secondary list of habits and behaviors, and those are going to fail you.
Oh,
that ego is going to fucking fail you. Mm-hmm. And when it does fail you, you always come back to that little kid who's like, I don't mean to get too therapeutic. It's like, oh my God, there I am, that little kid who was knocking on that door to be like, hey, daddy, can I sleep in the room with you?
Yep.
And like, I did the same fucking thing my parents did.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned from this last relationship, I was like, dude, you ignored your instincts. And I'm like, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Oh, my therapist made me.
Is that too much?
No, my therapist made me imagine myself as a 4-year-old because I have this one home video of myself where I was the cutest fucking kid in my little ballet outfit. And like, I was just like melting into love because I just loved my parents. And my therapist made me close my eyes. And well, my mom's bipolar and my dad's amazing. Both my parents are, but it was.
I'm teasing.
I know.
And I was like, also, who loves their mom more than you? I saw that fucking Mother's Day post, Justin. It's burned in my goddamn brain.
She's an angel.
My therapist made me talk to, like, envision myself as a 4-year-old and talk to her. And I just sat in silence for a long time. And she's like, what would you say? And I was like, I would tell her that she's not the mommy. And I just, I can't even say it without like crying.
Go ahead.
It answered so many questions I had about myself. And every time I go into an unhealthy behavior, I can really take a second and think, which is my problem, I don't do that, and go, where is this voice coming from? Is that the little kid like begging to survive?
Yeah.
Or is that the adult you, the manager, the responsible person? And now I can identify it, and shit's just changed, man. Like my life's gotten so much better ever since you can tell the two apart. And tell the little girl to be like, it's okay, you don't have to be scared, I got this. Like you have to actually say that to your inner child.
Oh, I did the same thing. I was like, I was putting my hand on my, because I've been going through like a really, really hard time with this thing. Like I broke up with this person who's like, I'm gonna lead how much I talk about that. I broke up with this person who like is in like sort of what I felt is like a really unhealthy life, and I realized I exposed myself to it, and the part of me that like wants to take like the rescue and take care of and like save her, and then like, it's almost like when I was a little kid, I used to see homeless people on the street and I'd start crying, and I used to make my mom give them money. And it was like, I'm like, Justin, like, it's all you trying to fix yourself. And I was like, dude, I was sitting there the other night. This is the craziest thing. And I was thinking about this person, and I said, and I was like, and I'm like, they're probably not even feeling half as much of the anxiety about the situation that they're in that you're feeling in your body. I'm like, where do you feel this? I'm like, you don't feel it. You don't experience it in them. You experience your pain over them in you. And I'm like, right. I'm the one having those feelings. And I'm like, where do you feel it? And I was like, and it felt like this fucking aching hole, like right here in the middle of my stomach. And I put my hand there I was like, and I never, years go by without me crying, like years go by. And it had been, I think the last time I cried was a little bit for a moment, like a, like that long.
Yeah.
When my dad died in the hospital, just because I was so fucking, but it was more like I was angry that our life had gone by with so much like gaps in it.
Yeah.
And that was almost 2 years ago. And before that, I can't even remember. And I like just put my hand on my chest. I just started like crying for the first time. And I was like, oh, like these things are all, it's like, it's your own wholeness. You're being shown your own sort of path to wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about like the next relationship I'm in. I'm like, I have to be with someone, like, I don't want to be with someone who's like all good, because I'm not all good. I need somebody who's like identifies, like my sisters are always trying to hook me up with their like Jappy, Long Island, like Jewish princesses. And I'm like, I don't know. People like that, they don't resonate.
You need
me.
More
like,
substance.
Yeah, I need more substance. I need some like breaks. Like you have to have like, I need someone who's like been fucked up, but working on themselves, because the beauty of a relationship is like the relationship triggers stuff. And then the two of you are gonna like, use that as the conduit to be like, let's work through this so like I'm more whole, you're more whole, the relationship's more whole.
Yeah.
And you can't do that with someone who's like not willing to look at themselves, and you almost have to like carry them through. It doesn't work. Like,
yeah,
they have to be, there's got to be this like back and forth of like emotional support, in a, you have to have like support in that way.
Yes.
Like, you can't do that shit alone.
Your team, yes.
Yeah, but I need somebody who's like, I need somebody who's like fucked up to, fucked up enough to be in therapy, but makes like, but keeps their appointment.
Yeah. Right, but
yeah,
are,
yeah.
Are you afraid to be with someone who's like not broken because like they won't like you or they'll see you as broken?
No. Let me tell you something. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's why like in these last relationships, it was like, oh, I need to be, but right. I realized I'm not that broken. Because mm-hmm. every time I find someone who's that broken, I'm like, no, my shit's way too together for this person.
Well, and no matter what mm-hmm. happened, you've had too much. I mean, people listening don't know, but like, you know, Justin is a comedian now, but like he's also like a celebrity dog trainer, has yeah. had a TV
oh, yeah,
show.
Let's forget that.
Author.
Like, yeah, like the book,
yeah.
like friends with celebrities, been invited to celebrities' houses to train their dogs, like wow, traveled cool. around the world. Like, I mean, this is obviously one of the many reasons I love you, you know, must love yeah. dogs. But yeah, and so I just not possible to have, especially a career like that where you were truly like the head of
yeah.
you know, your own kind of company and brand that was you.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's not possible if you hadn't gotten your shit together.
But I didn't. But here's the thing: is like what I realized is like there's an aspect of like low self-esteem that I wasn't addressing, where I was like,
yeah.
you don't like, you're not valuing yourself the way. First of all, like when you say that, I get like a little like I get meekish. Like, which I think there's like, it's nice to not, like, I was confusing arrogance with humility,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it's like, it's you saying that, I'm like, yes, I own that and I should own it. And it's like a gift that I've been, that I don't want to say God, like that a higher power has worked through me as a conduit to like helping
yeah.
other people. Like, that's a fucking
it's
beautiful
such
thing.
A gift. We were such eating outside in Chelsea. Everyone's fucking and their dogs coming over to you.
Yes.
Like it was really sweet.
It's aww. Really cool.
Yeah.
So like, but I was realizing, I was like, dude, by still seeing yourself as like sort of a broken person, you're devaluing like how wonderful you are as a person. And I'm not trying to, and it's like, it's kind of, you know, you don't want to be like, hey, I'm Mr. Wonderful. Like, I'm not saying it in that way, but I'm saying it like is a true testimony to like sort of recognizing my own value. And
yeah.
for a long time, because of like, you know, comedy, like I had my own, I wrote, directed, produced a show that landed on CBS. It didn't get picked up for a second season. I was in LA trying to figure my shit out, came back to New York, had to start over with comedy. My best friends, like Dan and Jay, sort of like, they were like, listen, buddy, like we'll help you as much as possible, but you still have the 15 minutes of comedy you had here. And now yeah. here we are like 2 years, and I was feeling like, and financially, the hit that I took, and I was feeling like, God damn it, was I feeling like low and behind. And I was like, shit, I can't get into a relationship with a woman until I have like all these ducks in a row, because, you know, like,
if you're not good for yourself, you can't be good for another person.
I felt like I wasn't good enough like on paper at that time. And like, now part of it was like I just needed enough ground under my like momentum where it's like I have that now, like I'm headlining, and you know, I have like all my stuff is like bad, like I love the podcast I do with Mike, like I feel like I'm in like this creative flow right now. But I realized like I don't want a chick who's like, well, show me the money first and then you like your bank account has to qualify for
oh,
me to be
God.
here,
right?
And I didn't realize that until like maybe like a year ago.
Right.
And then I was like, all right, I'm going to just start giving different people a chance. But I was like, it's sort of like my own, like the growth of my self-esteem has never been linear. Dude, you have higher value. And so it's like, it's like at this point, I kind of feel like, even though like I feel like sort of heartbroken, a little fucked up, like, because, you know, there's just sort of, there's the resonance of after you go through
something.
It's going
to happen no matter what.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, I feel like my shit's like, I feel good
yeah,
about myself.
I've had a couple
I
breakups
feel good about
before.
Myself.
Yeah, where it's like you're battling the loss and feeling upset over the loss, but then deep down in your gut, it's always like a feeling like right here, you know that this is a blessing that you've parted ways.
Yeah. Like, definitely. So like in a weird way, like even though like I feel, humility is so interesting because it is a way of like, what it does is it cuts away at your ego bullshit, which is like, it cuts away at the false self, and you end up feeling just like, it's like the end of Jerry Maguire or something like that. It's like, what is it that you end up feeling like a sense of like, you touch like some true wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not that like I'm all right, I'm okay. Like, not that fucking, like, sing-songy, like, breakup music type of shit, but where you really, like, ground yourself and you start to, like, have a lot of compassion for other people. And you're like, fuck, like, I don't even have to posture so much. Like, I'm a valuable motherfucker.
Yeah, it's, you know, quiet. I mean, like a false sense of confidence or self-worth is very, like, loud and flamboyant.
Yeah, but that's where I, like, what you were saying just now, Christina, is, like, you realize, like that's something that I fall into a lot. You know, and as a performer, listen, I have my own podcast on No Disrespect is such, like, Justin and Silver as a character, which we lean into that big time.
Oh,
and,
it's
and,
so
and,
funny.
And anybody who doesn't know that I'm joking, that I'm really not, like, you know, popping as many Klonopin as I said, like, if you don't if you don't get that, like, that is there to entertain you,
you leans into the pretty boy because it's like you can't not be like pretty and have abs, so why, like, why not lean into it if people are gonna make fun of you anyway?
They're gonna make fun of it. And so many people, like, this jealous this fucking narcissistic hand job is like, of course, like, I'm playing the narcissistic hand job, but, like, but the reality is like who you're talking to right now. So it's sort of like, but that's why I was like, I was listening to Soder's episode and I was like, oh, I love these two girls, like, they're so good at, like, you know.
Yeah,
you know, like, I'll open up with you guys.
I like that. I appreciate that. I figured you had a lot more layers than what I saw because I don't know you very well. So I was delighted to dive into that. What now? Sex.
Yeah,
you like intense sex.
Oh,
what does that mean
it.
To you? Like,
yeah, Mike Vecchione was just talking about intense sex on the podcast.
I because I get that. I don't.
I love it.
I think
love
the biggest waste
sex.
Of time is bad sex. Like, it almost makes me mad.
To me, what to me, I don't even know of another. What other kind of sex is there besides intense sex? Like, what
there's
is that?
Timid. Well, listen,
it's drunk all sex. It's all maniacs.
There's timid. There's timid sex. There's when's one party when you're first. Listen, there's women who are very comfortable with their bodies, and you, like, you see them and you equally want each other and are like, listen, I want someone like, but when they're though, like, all right, listen, we're gonna meet and these two, like, these two things are gonna collide, like, it's fucking awesome.
Like her vagina and your penis.
Yeah, the whole thing. Like, I love when it's just when, like, bodies collide and it's like, listen, I don't even want to flip you over because, like, I want, like, I don't, like,
the
my
intensity,
mouth
yeah.
can't leave your mouth and I want, like, eyes open the whole time.
Looking,
like,
each
I
other get, in the eyes.
Can't
oh my
even
God.
Flip I, you over. I mean, that, can we get that on a Valentine's Day?
You should write magnets, bumper stickers, t-shirts,
no,
a lot
so,
of
I
things
love,
for gentlemen.
I love a lot of positions and stuff like that, but there's those times where it's like, I just, like, hand on the throat, like, squeeze your tits into my mouth, like, you're feeding me like a baby, and then,
yeah,
like, I want, and
now.
I want, like, and I want, like, I want a lot of spit, and, like, like, don't even kiss me. Lick my mouth like the Joker, like a Joker smile. And, like,
I'm
I
surprised with your OCD that you're okay with the licking.
Limbs, listen to me. I like it. Yeah. I like it fucking filthy.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
I really do.
Good man.
but like respectfully so. But here's what I'm saying. Here's when sex
when
is
does
bad.
It, when does it get not respectful?
When is it disrespectfully
with
filthy?
With me, it never does. Like, I mean, listen, I assume, no, with me, it never, I hate,
well, you,
like,
have to have respect for filth.
I hate misogyny. Like, you can, like, how quick can, like, I mean, like, I hate anything misogynistic. Like, it has to be so, it has to be consensual. She's got to be like, yeah, I am fucking way on board with this shit.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But here's where you're saying that where it gets awkward is, like, you can tell when someone is, like, they think you want to do that, so they'll do that.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah.
You can, like, but how many dudes are not good at, like, reading women's cues?
Totally.
But also, there's women who it's like, listen, I look younger than I am, and, like, doing comedy, so, like, I'll be way honest. Like, young women come up, and then it's like, and I don't know how much I'll do this in the future because I just kind of think I'm way over it at this point.
Yeah.
But it's like one night stands, like after shows type of thing. You can tell when someone's like, they're not as experienced or they're a little timid. It's like, that's kind of not that fun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Why don't you wailing like a barnyard animal?
Yeah, that's not that fun. But when it's like, but when you're just on firing on all cylinders and that person is like way into you and you're way into them.
Yeah.
I love like the narcissist aspect of it. As long as they know like it's playful. Like I love when my clothes come off and they're into it. And I like, love giving it back. I'm like, go ahead.
Well, because I was going to say, you have a nice body and you could tell by how you dress. But like, even if it's in the winter, sometimes like when I remember like when Dan and I had sex, I was like, you get a hold of this.
Oh, I know about your tits.
I love when my clothes come off, Justin Silver.
But like, because you're like, here you go. And then you get to see them light up.
Oh,
it's great.
And the cool thing is like, if this can be done in a way where it's like, where it's playful, where it's like before, where they're like, hang on, I just want to look at it for a little bit. I'm like,
oh, that's so hot.
Look away for, like, look at it. Yeah. Like, go ahead.
Chase
I love
me around,
all that.
Follow me around the apartment and
slap
me.
Making women do stuff. I'll be like, listen, I want you to, like, I like, I like
getting your heels and hands and knees.
I want you to crawl across the floor.
I can't look at you when you say this.
I want you to crawl across the floor in your panties, and I want you to, but like crawl, like
I'm gonna slide off this goddamn couch.
Cat crawl across the floor.
Okay, you're making hard eye contact with me, Justin, yeah, and I see what you're doing, and I appreciate it.
I'm looking down at the floor.
I'm not.
I
I'm
do
just
always
saying.
Appreciate it.
I'm not.
You
I'm
do always give me lots of attention. Thank you.
All right, I was gonna finish what I wanted.
You can
keep going. Keep going. Don't. Yeah.
I want them to like crawl across the floor, and I want them to work it. Like a mechanic working on a fucking DeLorean. Like
you lost me because of those last.
No,
words.
I like that. No,
I want them like
under. A 1970. Yeah.
Well, DeLorean isn't that like from
the Back to the Future?
I was
car.
Like, that's yeah. the Back to the Future.
But,
here,
but
car.
My favorite, and this is the truth. The favorite thing is like there is nothing more. The feeling of like I love that thing. Like the woman comes first. Like I couldn't give a shit. Like I could always just jerk off tomorrow if something happens where it's like
another
I could,
greeting card hit.
I couldn't care less.
I could always just jerk off tomorrow.
So beautiful.
The best is like going down on them from behind and like I love making a woman come. Mm. I love it.
Good for
that's
you.
Such a,
you're really prepped for this episode. Hey, Justin.
Am I not doing well? You're
no,
making me feel
you're
like
doing
I'm
doing amazing. You're, doing great, you're showing a lot of layers. It's interesting. Maybe the pattern is like men who have strong women in their lives really enjoy making women come.
Mm-hmm. I want to be asked back.
Well, we don't have repeat guests, so don't worry about that.
No.
I don't mean there. I want to be asked back.
Yeah,
I want
you want to be like, yeah. Because that was like the only way you can get back on the podcast is to fuck, you know, one of us, so.
I mean, honestly, I'd fuck you. Like, not for that, I would. I think we'd have a good, you know what, we'd have,
Justin.
A, we'd have a good enough time. I just, I, here's the thing, is like, what?
Oh, no, almost choked on my coffee.
Please keep going with that sentence because it was so
honestly,
flattering.
I'd fuck you.
It was so flattering.
But you're making it sound like I'm saying it like, nah, yeah, girl, I'd fuck you. You can have a twirl on it. I meant more like we have like a valuable, that's not how I was saying it. We have like a valuable friendship. That's
I know,
like,
I know,
that's
I
like,
know.
We're like, our friendship is in for the long haul and you so know it's like, you could so sort of see like the discomfort that would cause in the future because it's like, we're not going to start dating. You know, we're not going to start dating.
Oh,
like,
no,
we're
gonna, absolutely not.
Right, we're not going to start dating. You know, so it's sort of like that's why that would be. Maybe we could just like masturbate together.
Oh, wow. That's mutual masturbation's fun.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's
a lot
hot.
Of weird stuff is going on. Okay, well,
put it in your calendar.
All right. And
okay.
Look at the time.
Okay, I'm trying to think of another question, but I can't think.
Why?
Of one.
I don't know. It's very when I met you, it was very interesting because you've really only been in one relationship since I've known you. It's only been a couple of years, but you always feel like you're like working on something or looking for something. So like, what's the plan now? Because I know you want to. I know you want to have a nice life and like settle down, but you know you're not.
I love. Yeah. I'm, yeah. No. I'm ready. I want like a nice girlfriend.
Yeah, but like, so we're like, what active things are you doing? Because I don't even know how you met this last girl.
I'm dating.
Apps, in person.
Yeah, like, what does I'm dating mean?
Friends.
Oh, no. What's the plan? You know, I can't do apps. I can't do the whole apps thing, I realized.
But why?
I just like, I gotta like feel, I gotta like feel, I gotta hear someone's voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I gotta hear your voice. Like, I've done so many apps where you're like, and then you meet them, and it's like, the second you walked in, I was like, absolutely not. It's like, it's not that like I write people off or don't give people a chance, but there's like a feeling I get from, so like from that initial sort of feeling I get from being in a room with someone, it's like I have that there has to be like this little bit of a spark, which what's happening on an app is you're projecting onto these photographs. Mm-hmm. And I just think the whole, like, I think there's a danger to that. And what you have to almost look at apps is like, okay, what these apps are going to do is put me in a position where they're going to put me in a room with a bunch of these people, but that's my first impression of them, not the app.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that then it's sort of like, well, look at the time commitment now. Like, you're going to meet each other. There's coffee. It's like there's the day. There's the time on the app texting. Then there's the actual. So now hours have gone by. Those are the same hours I could just be out in public doing the exact same thing.
It's a shitty investment of time.
So yeah. It's not economical time wise. And I think a lot of times it's like late at night. It's like you're sort of, that's when you're swiping and doing your kind of thing when you're feeling lonely and this kind of that. And like, that's not the place. I feel like when you're
it's
out
the
about,
instinct you want to go off on.
Yeah. And I don't feel like I have to work that hard to like meet a person. Like, I meet tons of people. We have public lives. So it's like I think when meeting a person has never been difficult for me, but I sort of think that like when you're as you go through different relationships or different dating experiences, the road gets narrower. Mm-hmm. That's a hard word for me, narrower. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's going to mush. I had to intonate.
Gets more narrow. Mm-hmm.
Road gets more narrow. Then, like, whatever, if you believe in any sort of like attraction thing, whether it's like if you think about it in like some sort of, you know, if you want to think about it on some Abraham Hicksy, like I'm sending off a signal, or you want to think about it more biologically, it's like, no, I'm just sort of like, I'm out, I'm saying hi, I'm available. You sort of know more of what you're looking for, and maybe it just took a few of these sort of like trial by errors to realize like, all right, I kind of know more what I'm looking for now. And like when that person walks in the room, like I'm not shy to say hello. Is that good?
I mean, that was good. It's just at a certain point, when's the person going to walk in the room?
Well,
they have before.
They have plenty of times. I mean, I've had. What's not lining up for you here?
No, it's just curious. I just feel like I don't know. I feel like you're looking for people, but then when I see the people you choose, I'm like, this isn't to me line up with things that you've told me.
Yes, but that's what I was saying. That's what I was talking about.
Like, I know, but it's just such a long time for the pattern to go on.
I don't think it has been. No, I don't think it has been.
Okay, well, I'm not gonna give away your age.
My age? No, I don't give a fuck about that. In my 40s, but I don't feel. I don't feel that way. The way you see me, like how I look, is exactly how I feel.
Yeah,
like that number does not.
Oh yeah, no, you look fantastic. That's not a problem.
It's also not a
real issue for dudes.
It's not. And if it's not an issue for dudes, it's certainly not an issue for me. And what I in terms of meaning, like this guy's got, like, who does this guy think he is? You know, there's that, like, you have to have an accurate self-appraisal. Like, there's that person, there's that dude who's like, you know, got his hair plugs and combs at his eyes. He still thinks he's macking it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think I have an accurate self-appraisal of like where I am physically and where I am emotionally and the type of person that's going to attract in. Like, a woman in her young 30s is not going to be like, fuck, like, that's not going to be difficult. And that's sort of like where I'm going to land. But in terms of like pattern, like, no, like there's been... Like, I've had wonderful relationships with wonderful women. I'm just thinking, like, in the past 2 years, everything, like, I've definitely, like, sport-fucked over the past few years. And that's what you've seen me doing.
I haven't even seen you do that much of that, considering your level of attractiveness, actually, and your career.
Thank you. But I haven't, but, like, I think now I realize, like, I'm like, no, now I could definitely go for something that's, like, meaningful. And but it took a little bit of work because I was definitely coming, when I came back to New York, I definitely felt like I was limping. Like, I was like, fuck, man, I came back to the same apartment that I hoped, even though it's a nice apartment, I came back to the same apartment that I hoped I was never going to see again. The fucking East Coast, which I thought I was only going to visit like on my on Thanksgiving because I do not like New York City, and was not at peace with like starting over in a career where I was like, all right, I have to be at a certain level before. I wasn't feeling comfortable with where I was in a lot of areas.
But is that why you came back? Why did you come back to New York City if you don't like it here?
But what I realized is I do like it here. And I've had to make peace with it. Like, okay. I complain about it a lot. And
you
I was
told
like,
yourself you didn't want this, but
yeah,
then
I was
you
like,
realized.
Justin, cut the shit. Like, you do like it here. Like, it took me 15 minutes to get from my apartment to here, and then we'll go to the Comedy Cellar thing tonight. And it's like, I was like, no, you do like it here. Like, LA was isolating. Like, you like the weather. You know what I mean? And you're like,
well, nice.
It's like, it is. But I was like, I realized like I do like it here. Like, I just was like, things weren't lined up in my head enough. And I think that now they are. So then I was like, so how was I with women? I don't want to say acting out, but not acting in accordance with what it is you're asking. So what you're asking is, you're saying, Justin, you weren't acting in accordance.
You were
so
a slut.
I wasn't a slut though.
Oh no.
I wasn't a slut though.
No.
Slut phases are fun.
Yeah, no, it was just more like we would have conversations about kind of what he was looking for.
Yeah.
And then I would see a relationship come to fruition. And I would be like,
I'm like,
either he's lying to me for some reason, which didn't seem like there was no reason to lie to me, because it's not like I was actually trying to date. You know, we were not in any actual romantic situation where to protect me, you would need to lie to me, or to protect yourself or anything like that. We're truly just friends. Huh, that's interesting.
No, I was acting out, but definitely, I was acting out on probably like Yeah, I was acting like I was not acting in accordance with the things that I think I wanted to be in the position that I was talking to you about.
Well,
yeah.
Were you recreating patterns and you were just unaware of it?
Probably.
Yeah.
But I would say,
so you were speaking like aspirationally.
But now I feel like that's where I'm at.
Okay,
so when you
asked
me, I'm like, and then I realized like other things. I'm like, Justin, do you really want kids or you just want someone to be there when you die?
Totally fair.
Deep as shit.
Good question. I've thought about that too. Because I thought I wanted kids my whole life, and I'm like, I don't know.
I hang out with my niece and nephews, and I'm like, they're so adorable, and they are. It's like my brother has this saltwater fish tank, and like I'm like, Noah, how, like, if the temperature raises in the apartment we have in the house, the fish tank has to be like readjusted and all this kind of stuff. Having these little kids is like having the world's biggest saltwater. I mean, the maintenance of dealing with this fucking human being when you're asking them what they want for dinner, and then it's like they don't want to eat that, but they want the cheese sticks, and then but this cheese sticks, the writing is smudged on it, so he thinks there's something wrong with it, and that's an hour.
Yep.
And I'm like, but you can't just scream at them or be like, no dinner, because then you're going to like, then I'm going to be like my
child
dad
abuse.
Was. I'm like,
well, there's a,
I don't know if I can handle this.
There's an hour if you allow there to be an hour. You don't have to yell at the kid. You can be, do what's done in like a regular functioning household, which is place it on the table and say, well, it's here. When you decide if you want to eat it or not, I'm going to go in the other room. That's your power.
Don't belittle me.
That's not belittling you. That's just like,
I was home with my nephew for the holidays and I spent a lot of time with him. And I was like, dude, calm the fuck down.
Right,
and I didn't say that to him, but... I don't want to be selfless.
Your life becomes that kid. Like, that kid becomes your life.
I'm too selfish.
And I'm like, I don't know.
Okay, well, that's also inaccurate, though, because you should... for a mother.
Well, shouldn't.
Mothers tend to do this. So, okay, again, I'm reading a book. And so mothers tend to coddle, and make their whole life about their kid. But really, your whole life should be about your kid only until the kid is five. After that, they should start functioning on your own, and you can go back to self-care. So everyone's doing it wrong. The problem is, though, a lot of people, because so many people had traumatic childhoods, they then overcompensate with their children and end up spoiling their kids. So for instance, my mom had like a run of the mill, not amazing, but not abusive, just like a regular run of the mill. So she wasn't compensating for me. She was just treating me like I had everything I needed, but I didn't have more. I didn't get extra. I had anything extra, I had to work for. So that's like the pattern you want to keep continuing.
You're so healthy, it disgusts me.
No, believe me, my home life, it was healthy, but then I came to New York and then I went wild and fucked it all up. So you see, like, I had a
you're not doing that great.
The foundation was
shut up.
The foundation was fine,
and she then it got, have a home.
And then it got fucked up. And then it got fucked up. And also, anyway, anyone who I know who had a bad childhood is actually having a much better adulthood.
Can I tell you?
And
then
if you had a good childhood like myself, you're having a much worse adulthood.
You know? Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, 100%.
Can I tell you something interesting? The way I am, this is true. Like, I've trained dogs around the world, and it's like so much of what you're dealing is you're watching owners' dysfunctions play themselves out through their animals.
Wow,
it's
interesting.
Like, yeah, well, their dogs acting out as a lightning rod for the owner's dysfunction. The way I handle animals and how fair I am with them and level-headed, and it's like, listen, I know it drives people crazy when it's like, well, my dog is like my kid. My mother, from all my friends, are like, you would be a fantastic father. I think I would be I think I'd be a fantastic father, and I'd have a great relationship with a son, but I think I'd be a great father to a little girl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think I would.
Yeah,
so,
I think
like, but the thing is, like, it's what I'm saying is, like, God damn it. It's like, my friends with kids, they're like, do you want to come over for dinner? Because I can't leave the house. It's like, I'm just like, oof.
They're like imprisoned.
Those first few years are a lot, right?
Yeah.
But after that, like, they've just created that notion in their head that they can't. They can. I mean, you know, people, like, there are major stars. I mean, the Beckhams are one of my favorite examples because they don't even have a nanny. And both parents are celebrities. They have a bunch of kids.
That's not fair, though.
Why?
Because when you have every conceivable resource and you're like, you know what?
Resources, but they're not using human resources. You can't let a robot watch your 3-year-old no matter what.
I understand that. But there's also the ease of like, you know what? Kid's sick, call the doctor, have him zoom over to this house immediately.
Of course. They also have more kids than you should be having if you're like, not to turn into like the Chinese government over here, but they have a ton of kids.
Pick someone other than the Beckhams for this example, and I'm with you.
I know working, but I have to give an example. We can't name a friend that only you and I know. I have to use a celebrity example so that the listeners can get on board. That's the
Something
point.
You could Google, you know?
But anyway.
You're really good at podcasting. I need to learn things from you.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I go, hey, Mike, let's talk about Larry for an hour. And they're like, remember when he did that thing? And they were like, your listenership's down. I'm like, fuck, I wonder what it was.
Oh, my God.
No, I have a question. How are you with monogamy? Is it a challenge for you or is it easy?
Ooh. First 2 years are great. How am I with monogamy?
That's a terrible answer.
I'm projecting onto you, but I would think it would be hard. It's hard for me.
Actually, knowing it's you, I would vote the opposite because you're very traditional in a lot of ways.
I'm traditional in a lot of ways. Monogamy, I don't know, man. I think that I have to have like allowances, and I realize like with the next girl, we have to have some exploratory stuff that we do.
Yeah,
because
do that.
The more like I had the sexologist come on my other the podcast that I haven't done, but I'm gonna start doing again, Neurotica. But and she was explaining like, and I was asking about if how natural monogamy is, and like, you know, when the dopamine wears down, it's like you're just not as excited to see a separate. Like, how do you keep that going? And there are major differences between like our male sex drive is way different because biologically we're supposed to be running around and like, you know, seeding
Sticking
the soil. But at the same time, it's like I wouldn't want my significant other doing that. And then I look at my friends who's like whether they swing a little bit or they have like they do creative things to keep that alive. I think I definitely have to find someone who's open.
Yeah.
And I think it would be really fucking fun to like explore that shit with someone
it's
who
a
is
bonding.
Open. Because I remember, is it?
Oh my God, it's such a bonding experience.
Sure, yeah.
My last girlfriends, and I remember like my ex-fiance who was, she was beautiful. She was like a La Perla runway model. She was gorgeous.
I didn't know about
so
this girl.
So sweet, right? It was before I was 30, but it was like, you know, even like, you know, if porn got watched, it was like, I was like crucified for shit like that.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Sort of like, you know, no sex on screens now anyway, unless it's like someone sending me something specific now. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of S's. No sex on screens.
Unless
I'm doing it with a human being who I know who that is. But I'm not like fucking parlaying my sex. I'm not like, I don't want to like indulge in like sex addiction on like, you know, like.
Well, because you have an addictive screens. Personality anyway, so you have to be careful about that.
I do have to be careful with that.
And
but
you don't
want to
brainwash yourself. So, like, you know, kind of takes the thrill out of it. Like,
it
being in person and going to a sex club or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. But I think that it would be, I think the fun would be, like, hey, like, right off the bat is, like, the male is like this, the female's like this. And if you ignore when that road is going to split a little bit, then the problem is your relationship starts to split. And I think it would be kind of cool and kind of fun to, like, integrate that into your relationship in a way where you guys like sort of support each other like that and you have fun with it. And I don't know
you
how
you could be happy for the person to like, it's doable. It's
like,
doable.
I mean, I have friends who are like, you know, they get into like that cuckold shit. They want to watch their girl get fucked by someone else. Like, I think that would like, you'd have to, you know, you'd be bailing me out of jail the next
day. But that's just not your kink.
That's not my thing. But I don't know what my kink would be.
So you look for it.
So you could explore it with the person.
But I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
I think that, so that's the sort of things that I'm looking toward, like, you know.
I feel like if you can, at least at the beginning of the relationship, when you think you want to be in a relationship with somebody, at least if the person can entertain those ideas and go, and be open to them, that is like, oh, it's the most freeing thing in the world. Because then you're like, we can go anywhere from here.
Hiding,
and we can check in with each other.
Yeah, hiding shit.
Oh, it's the worst.
Like hiding shit.
Such
like,
a turnoff too.
Oh, that would be, I'll never do it. Like, I'm never going to want to do something where I have to be like, I have my friend Jesse. He told me, like, he was like, told me this the other day. He's a friend of mine from boarding school. He's like, he's got this girlfriend. They're like, they've been in this long relationship. It's like, I mean, not the longest, but it's been like 3 years to the point where it's like, you know, that the honeymoon is definitely, they're not still in the honeymoon. And he's like, she woke up and I was like jerking off the porn. I'm like, and what did she do? She's like, well, she like joined in and she started masturbating.
Yeah.
I was like,
That's so nice.
That may not be my specific thing, but that's fucking cool.
But again, you just, the options, the options are there.
Well, because I think it's on, I'm reading this book. Esther Perel wrote this book called The State of Affairs, just about monogamy, and I'm obsessed with this book. And she talks about
that.
It's amazing. I got the audiobook so I could just listen to it on repeat. But to put all of your sexual satisfaction and emotional satisfaction and intellectual satisfaction, 100% of all those categories onto one person, it's unfair.
It's a lot of pressure.
And it's so much pressure. And even though you want to take on that, especially if you're a hero type of person, you want to save people.
Yeah.
Of course you want to take on that. That sounds like a fun, exciting challenge. You can express yourself that way. But you need to, if you both can realize at the very top of the relationship forming that you're not going to be the one to satisfy 100% of their needs all the time, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, life will be so much easier.
Yeah.
Everything's just finding out. It's a lot of trial and error. Like, coming into this, I was a lot different. I would probably think that I was like, oh yeah, monogamish or whatever. I'm not at all. I'm like very traditional, very regular. I need, like, my life is so crazy. I need the stability of someone.
Yeah, we both switched.
Who is there and not crazy. I'm just very, like, regular.
I'm realizing the same thing where it's like, I gotta find, my life is so, I mean, we all live a very similar lifestyle where it's like, I realize, like, I live, the chemical of, like, dopamine is running through me. Some, like, you get off stage, and then it's like the stuff I do, like, in the gym, like, you know, the runner's high is literally, like, it's dopamine and adrenaline high. I'm like, there's so much adrenaline running through my body all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, how, like, I don't have, like, a set schedule. I'm in a different town, all these things. And I'm like, dude, there is so much fucking dopamine. Where, like, I need home to be a stable place. I need to feel safe.
Yeah.
I need to feel comfortable, and I need to want to fuck the shit out of this girl all the time, like, at least in the beginning.
You can find that instability. Yeah, because I mean, for me, I'm still, like, I still, like, go out a lot, and, like, and I'm just like, this is, I can do it.
We're
physically
going out tonight. You're my date tonight.
I know, I have it in me physically, but then I'm like, I just don't even want to do this anymore. I need to find people who are more boring, like, honestly.
Or
stable. It's too much,
dude. I
don't want to live like
you
this
need a balance
anymore.
I love, let me tell you something, I love nesting.
Yeah.
With a chick. Well, I love, like, when a girl
you order
walks
all three meals from your couch.
When a girl's just walking around in her sweatpants and she doesn't have any makeup on, and, like, these are the things that turn, I don't know, like,
that's why I didn't wear any makeup. I knew this.
No,
I knew
makeup,
this, Justin.
And there's no bra on, and she's just, like, kind of titting around the apartment. I just get, like,
it's the best.
I get fucking crazy for them.
You're
I'm like, do me a favor. When you come back from the gym, don't fucking shower. Don't shower.
And
like,
then
I know the difference.
And then what happens?
Because I know the difference between stink and smell. Like, I want, like,
another greeting card.
Do you know what I'm saying? I want, like, I'm gonna
workout on
the
your pussy.
Sweat off of
but see, and then right there, you're kind of like tapping into your kink, because I think people think of kinks as like tying someone up or watching someone get fucked. But there are kinks to be found in, like, the nooks and crannies of everyday life, and most people just aren't looking for them because they become mundane. But they are always there if you want them to be there.
Yeah,
you just need to find them and expose them.
Yeah, little ones I learned about recently.
Mm. What,
like?
Oh, little things that you learned about. Okay.
Like, when you start having, like, really great sex with someone, you're like, oh, I didn't realize, like, this is, like, a thing I could get into.
Yeah.
There's so much to explore.
And some things that are, like, kinky or that you like with one person, you might not like with the other person, but then you find something new about them.
Yeah.
Like, that they're into. So, yeah.
And you know what the cool thing is? Like, when you really fall for someone, they're... imperfections become so hot for me.
Yeah,
they don't realize that their imperfections become, like, when I remember certain thing. I dated this one girl who I was so fucking crazy about, and, like, I have, like, very nice white teeth, and I tend to like nice white teeth. She didn't have, like, these, like, nice white teeth.
Yeah,
and I was like, I always think about, like, I was so crazy about her, and I remember when I noticed, I was like, she doesn't have, like, those white teeth that I love. And I loved her fucking teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I think about her, even though I think she was, like, a shitty, shitty person, I'm talking about, she was, like, I'm friends with all my ex-girlfriends. I'm
shitty
friendly with
person,
all of them.
Shitty person, terrible teeth, but I fucking
couldn't
get enough.
Terrible teeth. She didn't have terrible teeth. But this is one who I'm like, you know,
stained.
Like, I have no desire to be friends with this person.
Right.
Just because, like, you are, like, this is, there's good people, there's bad people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or there's good people, there's not great people. But, like, when I remember, like, physically, I was like, fuck, you got me with those not white teeth. Like, so it's like, there's things about women, like, if someone's got, like, skin stuff or all these kind of things, like, it just becomes, like, it becomes, like, the hallmarks of them.
Yeah.
And I dig it.
It's their thumbprint. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we all have this list of things that we like want in a person. And I think of the people that have been in my life who meant the most to me. And I'm like, oh yeah, they didn't have like any of those things that I was looking for because none of that stuff matters.
Women are a lot more flexible when it comes to that though.
Yeah. Aesthetic, yes.
Women are a lot more flexible.
I never go off of aesthetic ever.
You don't?
No, because I just go off the feeling. But then I mean, I happen to have date really hot guys, I think, but like not all of them, but
one of my
lot
best
of them.
Friends.
Oh, he's so handsome. So handsome. But
in an unconventional way.
Yeah, yeah.
In a very, like, I used to work on the docks type of way.
I love his boyishness. That's what I really liked about him. And I loved his voice. I really attracted to some of his voice.
Yeah.
And I've never had a fuck buddy who, like, could make me laugh. I'm always the one making the person laugh. And it was nice to, like, take a break from that. But, yeah, it's personality and vibe.
That's why I'm saying the apps are, like, the problem is, like, that the amount of time it takes to actually meet the person to and that's the beginning.
Yeah.
Like that, it's almost like you're spending too long buying the ticket to get into the bar. You might as well just be walking around all day.
I think there's a gold mine in there for someone to create a dating app with like a voice feature to like you can record a little piece of voice.
We talk about me doing it. Not that we know anything
like
about
copywritten. Like a smell and a voice.
Yeah, you can't do it, guys.
Well, a smell would be great, but I think that's technology that we won't have for a little while.
3D prints their dick to your home so you know what you're getting into.
Here's what it is. You got to get on the phone with that person as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. And women are getting... The problem with women is like it's coming... Like it's coming like... You ever look... Like, you know, if you look at like chat rooms, like remember AOL, like sex chat rooms?
Sure.
Like, there are 11 women in here and 11,000 men in here.
Yeah.
Like, so they're
like
getting
it's raining jizz. Stop.
Yeah, they're getting it from all angles, so...
Words to live
you
by.
You keep looking at the clock. Do we have to stop?
No, well, we have to keep an eye on the time. Yeah, yeah. But we do have to stop. Justin, thank you so much for
thank you for having
it's
me.
It's been such
here.
A pleasure to get to know you better.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on and being
where can we find you? Where can we hear you? Social media,
so,
plug yourself.
Well, Corinne has been on my podcast. No disrespect with myself and Mike Vecchio, and her episode is fantastic. Christina will be on it.
I'm doing
soon.
It on my birthday.
Is it on your birthday?
Yeah,
weekend?
February 19th.
We'll have to get you something to make it special for your birthday. So it's no disrespect. You can download it anywhere podcasts are downloaded. I'm going to start Neurotica up again probably by the time this comes out. So don't listen to any of the episodes unless it's the one with coming up with Rosebud. My personal social media, it's at I am Justin Silver on all social media platforms, and it's IamJustinSilver.com for show dates. I do have this cool show, which also Corinne, you have done, called Anxiety Attack at New York Comedy Club's East Village location. It's the third Thursday of every month. I'd love to have you.
Yeah,
on
I would love
pretty
to do
soon.
It.
And although you can get discount tickets if you use the promo codes, all that stuff is on my website at IamJustinSilver.com.
Yeah, those lineups are always insane. Sometimes I'm like, wow, I didn't even know you were friends with all these people.
Wow.
This is very impressive. Thank you so much for being here. This
thank
has been, guys,
me.
We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday.
She's at work. I know you got that work. So let me slide inside of you, then throw it in reverse and make it work. Twerk. Shorty, shorty, drop that ass again. I know it go berserk and make it twerk. Go ahead, pop a perk. She gon' pop that pussy, girl. You know I got that work. I got that work. Go ahead, pop a perk. Shorty, pop your pussy on my face. I'll make you squirt. I need that work. She just wanna know, young boy, what you doing? See you riding low in the trap. Who let you win? Yeah, I see the dope in your car. I know you're coolin', but shorty trippin' all the time. Yeah, you a fool and you be riding with a lame nigga, and he think he bullin'. Don't be falling back, don't wanna be the one you're choosin'. I'ma break your heart and take the feelings that you used to. But we can't stop,
won't stop.
We win this, baby. Put you in anything, put that on anything, put you over everything, baby. I'm falling, I'm crashing, I'm bailing like fuck all the work out in Broadwooders, baby. I got some work there for all of us, baby. Her and her friends, I mean all of us, baby. Why do I always be fall for these ladies? Give me some perky, surround me with ladies. Henny and slow motor drum when I'm faded. Henny and slow motor drum when I'm faded. I'll pour a cup for your baddest behavior.